So, herzlich willkommen bei den Nachmittagssessions von der Froscon 11. Wir fangen jetzt ziemlich pünktlich an mit VoctoMix, einem Tool, was hier selbst auf der Froscon auch eingesetzt wird, nämlich um die ganzen Streams und Aufnahmen zu machen. Mastermind ist in dem Fall auch wirklich das Mastermind von der Software. Er wird jetzt die Software ein wenig erklären, ein wenig über sich, über die Anforderungen und das Ganze auch auf Englisch machen, damit auch international gesehen werden kann, was hier auf der Froscon alles gemacht wird, damit die ganzen Streams funktionieren und damit das Ganze auch aufgenommen werden kann. Bühne frei für Mastermind.
Hi, thank you. Thank you very much. As you said, I'm a mastermind. I'm part of the C3 VOC. We are doing conference recordings, especially on the Congress, but also on some smaller conferences and on the Froscon, of course. Yeah, I would like to talk to you about VoctoMix. VoctoMix is our live vision mixer or live video mixer, as we call it. It's specially designed around the needs of C3 VOC, but I'm sure it will suit a lot of use cases of talk recordings. Yeah, but we designed it around the needs of our use case. As you may have seen, you're sitting inside of one of our setups. Behind there is the camera. We have a mixer operator there, frame grabber here, beamer, and audio systems here, and a lot of stuff around here. Because it's so much, I would like to talk you through some of the pieces and parts that are part of our setup and that together form the requirements we have to our vision mixer, and that in the end formed what VoctoMix is. I will just talk about the core system, VoctoMix, and the presentation mixing. We have a whole pipeline after that for post-processing and encoding. Last year, there was a pretty nice talk from Peter and Meise, and you can watch that on mediaccc.de. There you can see all the remaining pieces of our pipeline, which are also awesome. So in the beginning, there's a camera. There is the public. We want to transport the video of the camera to the public. It's simple. But maybe there's another camera. Maybe there's a speaker. Maybe there's audio. Yeah, of course. Maybe there is also some, oh, there's the speaker. But maybe there's also some play out, like here, the confidence screen I have. I see my slides here. Of course, we want recording too, because just streaming to the public is good, but having it recorded for later use is even better. But there are not always talks. Sometimes there's nothing in the room. We do not want to stream an empty room, or even worse, people standing somewhere here and having a chat. We are streaming that live to the internet. That wouldn't be good. So we might need some kind of pause, of break loop that we send out when there's no talk. And if it's just video, people will think, hey, my speakers are broken, so we need some kind of music source. Yeah, there's presenters and there is projectors, and we want to maybe show the slides there, but maybe we want to show the cameras there. If speakers present hardware or something on the stage and it's small, you might want to see it here. There's also some kind of things where we are not really thinking about what we could also do if we have all this video information in one system. Where can we stream it to? Can we maybe deliver it to another room if the room gets full or something? So in the middle, there's the presentation mixer. And it's what combines all these inputs and outputs and puts the right things in the right places to the right times. But we are not the first one to do this, are we? No. So there is professional hardware. There is things you can buy that just work, maybe. You buy them, you switch them on, and you pay like around €2,000 for such a device, but it's just a device. It doesn't have controls. So you need a control panel, which costs you around €5,000. Or you need software, which is not so easy to use because it looks like this. And you have to use it with a mouse. And it's not easy. And it has a lot of buttons. And it has a lot of functions. And people who were doing video mixing on the Congress know that we tape most of these buttons because you can accidentally hit them. And then the world burns. So we have another idea of what we want to do. We want our solution to be open source. It should be as open source as possible. And it should be software. Why should it be software? We could also design hardware. Well, we want to run it on commodity hardware. You should be able, if something breaks around here, if the notebook behind there goes poof, we can go to the next Conrad and buy a new notebook or maybe borrow yours and have it running within half an hour and we have a running room setup. We want to have it on commodity hardware so we can expand easier. We can just say, okay, you have a fast computer, bring it over, we will use it. It's no problem. And we want it to be replicable. For two reasons. First reason, something might break. As I said, if one of our main encoder systems die because the power brick is gone, we can go to the next Conrad and just buy a new power brick and put it in there and it will work because it is just a PC. It has some special hardware, but in the end, it's just a PC. And it should be replicable so that other groups can replicate what we are doing without buying special hardware that they may just not need in another year. So we have, for example, we have talked a lot to people in Australia, to the PyCon Australia group or to the LinuxCon AU people, and they said, hey, we like your setup. We have built the same thing here. So on the other side of the world, people replicated our setup. And that's pretty, pretty cool. And that's what we want to do. And that's what because it's the reason we want to use software to do that. So if you're looking into how to do live video mixing or live vision mixing in software on Linux, there are a few options. There's libAV, FFmpeg, and of course, there's GStreamer. And GStreamer seems, on the first view, like a perfect fit. It has a lot of the functionalities we need already existing. It is modular, it is pluggable. We will take an in-depth look into GStreamer in a second. It's modular, you can take a piece out and put another piece in, and it's a completely different thing. It runs maybe on the GPU or on some specialized hardware, but the inputs and outputs are the same. You can just replace any component with other components. And we use GStreamer as the basis, as the framework to build Voctomix. And because it is so important to know how Voctomix is built, because it's in the end, it's not that complicated if you take a look at it, I want you to go with me on a ride, and we will step through how Voctomix is constructed in the inner with a not so in-depth, but a look that should give you an idea how you can modify it if it doesn't work for you. So to do that, let's take a look at GStreamer. GStreamer is a pipeline-based multimedia framework, so they say. You build a pipeline, like something goes in, and it goes through some filters, and it goes out again. Here we see a video test source. It generates a test video. Then there is an image sync in the end, which puts it to the X server. And in between, I have a filter that says, OK, I will only let pass video that is this high and this wide. So what now happens is that GStreamer tries to negotiate between the source and the sink. It tries to find a format that both parties are capable of handling and that satisfies the filter requirements in between. So video test source will say, oh, I can produce video in any resolution you want. And X image sync will say, oh, I can take nearly any resolution you want, maybe up to 4,000 by 4,000 pixels. So GStreamer knows, OK, I can now produce any resolution I want up to 4,000 by 4,000 pixels. And then it tries to apply the filter on it and says, OK, I now have to restrict the possibilities to these given values. But I have freedom in other things. Like, for example, will I send RGB data? Or will I send it in the other way around, blue, red, green, or blue, green, red? It's up to those both systems to decide which they can produce and which they can accept. Also, I'm not making a statement about the frame rate. So video test source will say, OK, I can produce every frame rate you want, but I would prefer 25. And GStreamer tries to negotiate between the source and the sink and find a way to satisfy all needs. And if it can't, it will fail. And if it can, it will build your pipeline and start it. And the pipeline is basically a thread where the source gives the timing. Video test source produces frames into speed it thinks it should, and the frames are running through the pipeline to other elements. Video test source could produce frames as fast as it can. But XImageSync says, OK, I have a screen, and my screen is running at 60 frames, so I can consume 60 frames, and it will only take as many frames as it can. And just as with Unix files, the slower sync does back pressure the source. And the source starts to run just as fast as it needs to satisfy with the requirements of the sync. That is a little complicated if we talk about, but in most cases, it will just work. You set the source, you set a sync, and it just works. The GStreamer does the hard things for you, or the negotiation in between. To take a look at all the things I just said, here is the introspection of the video test source plugin. We see all the formats it can produce. Multiple video formats. There's RGBX, like a byte red, a byte green, a byte blue, and a byte padding to align to 32 bits. There are video style formats, which are not RGB, but another color space. And there are, the list is long. And it also can produce video from 1 pixel up to some big number. And it also can produce nearly any frame rate you want. So this is just what I said. GStreamer will need to negotiate between all these capabilities and all these properties of a video stream. Let's take a look at a little more complicated pipeline. I now have two sources. There's a video test source, and there's an audio test source. So I have two independently running sources. Both produce video and audio. I now have two pipelines running, basically. And in both pipelines, there are multiple constructs. But let's talk through that from the bottom up, but because it makes it easier. Let's take a look at this element. It's MUX. It takes multiple inputs and arranges them into a single stream. In this case, it makes an MP4 file. It takes multiple streams and it puts them into an MP4 file. We have two encoders here. X264 encoder and MP3 encoder. So each of the sources, we put them through an encoder, and they take raw audio on the in or raw video and put encoded video out on the outside. And we take these two halves and put them into the muxer, and we get a working MP4 file in this case. But there are multiple elements here that I didn't talk about. There are these Q elements. And the reason for that is that we are actually building threads here. Each of these sources is an independently running thread, and the muxer needs to synchronize between them. So what will happen is, let's say the muxer says, OK, I need 1 second audio for one frame. Maybe it is like that. So the audio test source will produce one audio sample. And the video testers will produce one frame, and the muxer says, OK, I can't do anything. I haven't enough audio samples. So the audio testers will try to wait until the mux can take the samples, but the mux says, OK, I can't do anything. Please go on and continue. I have to wait until the video frame is there. So they both block each other because they're waiting for each other, because they don't run in the same speed. The audio source runs 48,000 times a second, and the video source only 25 times a second. So I need a way to adapt these two speeds. And this is what the queues are for. They are essentially thread boundaries. So everything before the queue is a thread, and everything after the queue, like the muxer, is a different thread. And because of the setup, all three things can run as fast as they want. And the queues try to accomplish this back pressure and say, OK, please don't run too fast, but I have to give the data on to the muxer. And this is one of the complicated things in GStreamer. This is where it doesn't always just work. You plug your sources and your encoders and your muxes together and expect it to work, and it doesn't. It just blocks. It stalls and says, OK, I can't write file. The time is just not incrementing. And the reason is that you have to have in mind what happens underneath, and that it builds these threads for you, and they are blocking each other. And then there's another thing that you need to think about. It's this EOS on shutdown. This is it's also new. And what it does is it tells that when you kill this running program. You can take this command line and run it on your Linux computer, and it will produce you a nice MP4 file. But if you kill it, usually what happens is it kills all threads. But the problem is that the MP4 is then broken. It doesn't work, because an MP4 has, in the start of the file, an index. And in order to be able to write that, it needs time to do this. So what we now enforce is that when you kill the program, it sends an end-of-stream signal through the pipeline and tells everything, OK, your inputs are now dead. Please finish your work. And it's another thing that you have to know. And if you don't know it, you might wonder why, because maybe sometimes the file works and sometimes it doesn't. So to take you a little deeper into the rabbit hole, I have basically now on the screen what is Voctomix in its inner core. It's video sources and it's a compositor. Compositor is a special element in GStreamer that allows you to aggregate multiple video streams on top of each other and beneath each other. And like here we are positioning it 50-50 from the top and scaling it to a special size and also setting some alpha channel. And Compositor will build for you an image, like applying other sources on top of each other. And this is basically the only element that Voctomix is in the core. It's just a compositor for the video, and we have a similar element for the audio. And everything around is just to support this one pipeline. So we are using here some video test sources with different patterns, so we can see which source is which, and they don't look both the same. And we have this compositor I just talked about, which aggregates those video streams. And that's nearly exactly the pipeline that's running in Voctomix. But there's one problem here. When we look at this slide, it's still one process. OK, it has two queues, so there are three threads running. But it's still one process. What happens if one of these sources gets terminated? It's a video test source. It won't get terminated. But if it's a real-world source, what happens then? Sources are unreliable. That's so because we are now coming back from the GStreamer into the real world. We have things like cables, and we have people who unplug them. And there are power plugs, and there are people who think, oh, I might charge my cell phone here. Who does need a camera? And another thing is that in a room like this, the requirements may change. Maybe someone says, OK, I have hardware here to show, and we need a new camera here. And then we just plug one out in the other room and take it here and install it here and drive a cable back. But after the talk, we will maybe move the camera back. So there is naturally changes in the setup we are running. You can't rely on the sources to be there. Sometimes there's network in between. A network is unreliable, of course. And GStreamer, and especially a single GStreamer pipeline, is a static construct. You set it up, you start it, and then it runs. And if one thing of this pipeline has a problem, then the whole pipeline and the whole GStreamer process will be terminated. And there are possibilities for dynamic changes. You can say, OK, I want to have a valve here and stop all data and then drain the end of the pipeline and then put another valve here and then that cut out this piece of the pipeline. You can really think it like a water pipeline system, and then remove this piece and put a new one in, and then refill the queues, and then reopen this drain, and then the rest of the pipeline will start. But doing this in a real-time situation where we have multiple cameras and someone just unplugged the camera and plugged it back is just not viable. It didn't work. I tried that, but it didn't work. It didn't work good enough to catch all these events and errors and all the places and put valves everywhere you needed. So we need something different. If we have a setup like this, a source, our Voctomix, and then maybe recording or something else, we need something in between. We need a blocking barrier there, something that allows the camera to run on a different speed, maybe go away, maybe come back, or have the core go away and maybe come back, run at a different speed, while both do not block each other. And there are things in GStreamer that allow you to do that. There are the inter elements. They're nice. We're using them. Right now, they're running here. They're working like a clutch between the sources and the core. And they're also working in the same way between the core and the sinks, because sinks are also unreliable. They're spinning metal, and spinning metal may crash, or network may go down or something. And we do not want to, the core to terminate when one of the sources or sinks passes away. But the inter elements are, well, yeah, they give a shit about timestamping. So they are assuming that time is a linear thing, and physics is perfect, and every crystal in every device is running the same speed. And obviously that's not true. So we have cameras, and they drift with temperature, and yeah, it basically screws up audio video sync. And so, and it really does this from the second you start them, but just a little. Just a little until something happens. Like, for example, you forget to stop an encoding process and your CPUs get overloaded and do more than they should. Then it audio video drifts for minutes sometimes. So they're obviously not good. We do not want to keep using them. But currently, they are in Voctomix, and they are one of the biggest challenge we are facing, because they are the main source for the sometimes a little perceived instability that Voctomix has. So sometimes you have to restart it again, and they are one of the problems. So we started a rewrite a year ago. And it's a complicated thing, because GStreamer internally is built with GObject. I don't know if someone of you have already touched G objects. It's basically object-oriented programming in C, which is basically not such a good idea. But okay, it's the format they're using, and then we're exporting these objects into Python. So it works, but we could use a little help there. It's really a thing of talking about how is the timing working. I have no background in these topics. It's all new to me, and I have to really, really turn my head around how timing is working, how first in, first out buffers could be working between processes and in between queues. And I would really love to talk to somebody who has more background in these topics. So if you would like to talk about this, please come to me after the talk, and we will have a nice discussion over the... We have beer in the C3 box, so it will be a nice discussion, I hope. But for those who say, oh, this deep technical thing, the good news is you have it over, and we will now take a look into the fun stuff. Like, how is Voctomix looking? What is it doing? And how can you use it in your alpha, in your... Well, where you would like to record talks. So first, let's take a look at how people watching from the external side are seeing what Voctomix produce. So let's take a look on which composition modes were implemented. And you may say, hey, I know these Blackmagic devices or some other vision mixers, you can produce any composition you want, and that's right. But you can't do with Voctomix. Voctomix has a really small amount of variation it can give you in the result of your video. And this is one of the things we are shooting for, because we do not want the mixer angels to be able to screw up our video recording by falling asleep on the keyboard and now the camera is right there and most of the screen is empty. And we have seen that. People moving around the video, like picture in picture, all over the slides, because hey, look, I can drag that. People have been doing that on congresses. So we do not want them to be able to do such things. So we have a fixed amount of composition modes that we can produce. The easiest one is, for example, full screen. Just have a camera, maybe have a slide, maybe have it full screen. It's easy. Another thing we can do is picture in picture. Have a slide in big, and maybe a camera down below. Maybe have it the other way around. If the speaker is talking really long and the slide is really boring, you might have the speaker in big, because he's interesting, maybe, and have the slides in small. Then we have views like this. It's one we use often, I think. It's one video in big and one in small, and they both overlap a bit. You can configure them. You can say, okay, how big do I want this to be? How big should this be? Where should it be placed? But it's a configuration option. You configure it when you start the VoctoMix core. The mixer engine is not able to change that. All your videos you produce will look the same, and we want that on a conference like this. We do not want one of the talks have this image here, and one have it in the middle, and then one above the logo that doesn't compute for us. So this is one of the use we use often. And then we also have this. If you can't decide which piece is more important, you can have them both equally sized. If this is not enough for you and you say, okay, I want something more complex, I want three video sources in the same, okay, it's possible. It's just the compositor element that does this aggregation, and it can do two or three or five sources, but you have to change the code. It's not what VoctoMix is made for. It's made to serve exactly what we need at the C3 Rock, and that may be a problem for some of you who say, okay, I want to do VJing and I do not want this, I want something else. I would encourage you to take a look into the source code. It is not complicated. It's really, the amount of source code VoctoMix carries, I will say that later again, is you can read it in a weekend and completely understand what it does from the beginning to the end, everything. And then you can change things. And in order to give you the possibilities to closer understand what VoctoMix already does and what it maybe you can do with it, the next thing I would like to look on with you is how we configured our inputs, our outputs, and how they are combined. So this is an excerpt of the README. And I would like to talk you through some of the things here. The obvious things are audio-video sources. They are obviously in the middle. It's the main sources we have. It's a camera, maybe a second camera. It's the speaker slide input. This is the video sources that are our content. And they both contain audio and video. Yeah, okay, the speaker some of the time doesn't have audio, but sometimes they play audio back via HDMI, and we want that to be part of our pipeline too. Then it's like a block diagram. Then we have the mirror port, which basically gives you everything you get in out. But there is this inter-element in between. So you are assured that the mirror port will continue delivering video even if your source breaks away. So if you unplug the camera, you will get black video. And if you plug it back, the image will come back. Why is this important? We, for example, use this to make a backup recording, or we could use this to make a backup recording of just the slides, to have a video recording of just the slides. Maybe this is useful. We could use that to have a stream with just the slides, or multiple view cameras. We talked about it on the Congress, to have the ability, like in big football games, to change your view of the stage in real time in the website. You can use these ports to do stream encoding of all your inputs separately without the mixing engine interfering with the streams. Then we have these things. They have an asterisk, and they do not always exist. The reason for them to exist is because in our setup, and if you want to learn more about that, please take a look at the presentation that our team gave last year. The link is in the beginning of the presentation. We have two computers doing all this. We have one which is running all the video inputs and the Vocto core and all the heavy lifting and all the encoding. And then we have this notebook. And in between those devices, there's a finite bandwidth link. There's a gigabit link. And one HD video stream without compression is like 900 megabits. So one of them would saturate this gigabit link. And it obviously doesn't work to have all inputs sent to the notebook via a single gigabit link. So we have to compress them down on the Vocto core so we can send them over to the mixer notebook. And this is basically what these ports are. They are compressed down versions of the mirror port, which you can use to take a look onto what's coming in the Vocto core with your computer from the network. So then we have these main mixers. We took a look at the pipelines that run in this video mixer. It's basically a compositor. It's just that. It's some inter-elements piping into a compositor and piping out again. And the audio mixer is basically the same. It can It can have multiple audio inputs, and you could adjust the levels of all of them. But currently, we're just selecting one with audio level 100%, and every other channels are at zero. But you could use this to simulate like a small audio rack and say, OK, I want the speaker to be this loud and his audio from the notebook to be this loud, and do it all in VoctoCore. So next, we have these sources here. And you might have seen it in the slides before. If you combine video, there is sometimes a backdrop, some place where no video is. And yeah, you could just have it black, but it looks some kind of ugly. And we decided we want to have a looping video in the background behind our small images placed on the canvas. So this is the place where you can play in this video. And when talking about this, one thing that might spring into your mind is, OK, VoctoMix actually does not any kind of reading video files or writing them. It just merely accepts video from sources and sends them out. So even the background loop that you see behind the videos is produced by a third program running and piping the video data into VoctoMix. And VoctoMix is just doing the composition. And there are reasons for this design. I will talk about that in a second, because there are some other places where this gets important. On the output, obviously there's our main output port. And there is basically the place where the mixed video and the mixed audio gets matched together and result in a final stream of all the mixed video and audio. And obviously there's the same encoder preview thing we had with the sources. Then we have these things, the stream blanker. It's a feature that if you have made a video angel, you might have noticed you can say blank the stream. I talked about this in the beginning. If nothing is happening in the room, we do not want to stream an empty room. Or even worse, people running around here and having private conversations, and because the microphone is lying on the desk, you have a live stream of them, and it's not good. But on the other hand, if the mixer angel is asleep and he doesn't arrive and the speaker just begins talking, we do not want the recording to just show a still image. So we have built into VoctoMix, and it's another thing where you can see that VoctoMix is really made for the situation we are in now. It's just made for this kind of recordings. We have the output port where our recording system is connected, and then we have the stream blanker where our streaming system is connected. And onto the stream blanker, you can either send the program view, the output view, or you can send another audio source or visual sources. Because, for example, you want to send a still image or a small animation that says nothing is happening in this room. Or you might want to send this another loop that says something is happening, but we are not allowed to stream this. And maybe you want them to be different video loops. On the other hand, you might want to play some audio, some music. We have an audio loop, you might know that, from the congresses. We basically play it everywhere. And these are the streams that are entering this video and audio source there. So to crunch that all together in some bullet points, the VoctoCore only does the video mixing. It does nothing more. It does not encode, it does not decode, it does not stream, it doesn't have any sense of networking other than how it takes in its video inputs. And everything beside of that needs to be in other programs. So for example, sources and syncs are external scripts. There is a camera source. It's an FFmpeg command running as a systemd unit, and it reads from the Blackmagic grabber card and throws the video to VoctoMix. There's a slide source. It reads from this frame grabber here and throws the video at VoctoMix. There's a recording sync. It takes video from VoctoMix, encodes it, and writes it to files. And these are all separate processes. And most of them are not written by us. They're just configured. They are readily made programs like FFmpeg that just does that. And because of the setup, because of the separation of concerns, you have tons of options. You can say, OK, I do not want the recording to be made with FFmpeg. I want it to be something else. I want that it is played out via HDMI, and then there is a hardware recorder. That's absolutely possible. You can do that. Or I want to stream it via SDI to another room and do the recording there. That's absolutely possible. You can do it whichever way you want. The VoctoMix does not enforce the schema. And this is another thing that we actually planned when we're designing this, we want to be able to change things quickly. For example, here at Froscon in room 7 and 8, we have a different frame grabbing setup. It's our beta test. If it works, we might roll it out in all rooms. So we are able to have two rooms be different configured than all the others while running the same software. Also, the GUI is external. It can be on the same system, which needs obviously more CPU on the system, or it can run on another computer, which also needs more CPU because you need to encode the video. But we're working on that. But having it on a notebook gives you more flexibility in placing things in the room. For example, in room 8, I think, our main encoder is somewhere underneath the speaker desk, and the mixer notebook is behind there. Here, the mixer notebook is, I think, right beneath the camera. So both are just a meter away. You can place things in the room more easily if the GUI and the core are running on different systems with network in between. The numbers we just saw on this README excerpt, these are actually TCP ports. And they take raw video frames, like just RGB, 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 following byte by byte. OK, not exactly RGB. We are using E420, some, I don't know, some standard used in television. I'm not a television guy. And raw audio, like samples just in PCM encoding. And we place them into a Matroska container. And we do this because Matroska gives us timing information and metadata. It carries like how big are the frames, how many bytes will there be per frame, and in which arrangement they are. And it gives us timing information. When does a frame match up with which audio sample? But it's raw audio and raw video in Matroska in TCP. So it's like 800 megabits, and we usually do it via loopback. So every source and sync is running on the same system, and they're talking to each other via TCP loopback. Yeah, actually, we should use Unix domain sockets there. OK, got it. We will change that sometime. But using TCP and using this common format, it doesn't look that common, but it is, means that you can like use VLC to watch at your streams, or FFPlay, or MNcoder, or any other Unix tool that is capable of reading Matroska and reading TCP. And if it doesn't use TCP, you can just use Netcat to send video and audio over. It's not a problem. We usually use Netcat to take a look at the video streams running on the encoder, because it's just networking. It works. So to give some numbers, for the preview outputs we're doing currently doing JPEG encoding, like we're just compressing every frame in JPEG and putting it together with the same 16 raw little endian audio thingy in a Matroska container and sending it over to the GUI. And this is what the GUI shows. And if you are a video angel and you see some crizzle, some snow in the GUI, this is from the JPEG encoding. But the recordings are usually much better quality. So now we have this core, and it has sources, and it has syncs, and it has some understanding of its internal structure, and it knows what we're doing with streaming and recording. But now we need a way to control it. So let's take a look at the control protocol, which you can speak to the Rokto core to control it. And it's actually pretty simple. It's just a line-based TCP protocol. So you send a command like set video A, camera 1, and it responds with, OK, the video status is now camera 1 and camera 2. This is my R and this is my B port. Or you can say, OK, set the composite mode. So it's really easy to do actual mixing, and you can easily do video mixing with Telnet. It's not a problem. It's like most of the time I'm testing. I'm using RLRap and Telnet and just writing the commands. But you can also cut remote via SSH. So we have situations where we are in the hotel and it's early and the first talk starts at like 8 o'clock and we're still nearly asleep. You can, of course, go down the lobby and while you're breakfasting, mix the talk. It's not a problem. It works. It's network. Yeah. So you can, of course, cut via a mix via Netcat. And we have been thinking about implementing an HTTP layer, so we can actually have a web view of this. It's motion JPEG, so most browsers are able to show it, and just open it in a web browser and have the Rokto GUI there. That might be an interesting challenge for some of you to implement. And of course, it's scriptable. So during our tests, we had Voctomix running with a script which changed the video mixing every 5 seconds. So we can test thoroughly all modes and all combinations. It's easy to script that. You can have an add task which at 8 o'clock enables the stream. It's not a problem. It's just line-based protocol. You can write your command, pipe netcat, and be done. So let's take a look at the GUI. It comes so late in this talk because it's actually not important. I think it's really not that important because it's just a thin wrapper around all the things, all the core things we just talked about. It has buttons for all the modes, and it has video views. And that's it. And it's actually pretty shitty. So we are tweaking it every now and then a little bit, but I'm really not a good, not a user interface guy. So if you would like to change that, the GUI is actually even smaller. It's maybe 7 Python files. So if you want to change that and build your own GUI, it's easy. And the protocol is really simple, and all the communication stuff is already implemented. So looking into the future and the current state, hopefully we'll get there. But until then, just a small list where we actually used Voctomix. We have a ton of conferences where we were and used Voctomix successfully. I hope none of them were a legacy DB switch, but I think they were all made with Voctomix. And yeah, obviously you are just in the middle of the biggest setup we have done so far with 8 rooms. It's the biggest thing in the year. It's even bigger than a Congress. But as I told a little bit, we have also some connections to Australia. And they are running 2 conferences, and also DevConf is planning to use Voctomix, and they were kind enough to package our software. So they are now packages in Debian and Ubuntu, and I will talk about that in a second. But let's talk about the future plans. Well, I talked about it. I would really, really like to increase the stability and the reliability so that you just can turn it on and it works every time. It's not always like this. Sometimes it exec faults on the startup and you have to start it again, but then it works. But it's a thing where we need to work on. Cropping of slide sources is something. People are, even in 2016, coming with 4x3 slides. Why? I don't understand that. We are producing all our videos in 16x9. They should know that. So cropping the black borders would be a nice feature. GUI improvements, GUI improvements, of course, I talked about that. A flux compensator, like if someone forgets to turn off their screen reddening thing, the videos look really ugly, but it's actually, you could programmatically reverse this effect and recover the video. That would be a fun thing to work on, and it's a nice name for a feature. We want to increase the performance. Currently, we're running on i7 Intel CPUs, and the highest of them, like 4.2 gigahertz, and they have pretty much they are quite loaded. But we have some things in the pipeline, like running video encoding onto the GPUs, or doing more with OpenGL in terms of video format conversion and video compositing. But yeah, it's something we need to work on. Documentation is a thing. Everybody says that, but I think we have pretty good documentation. There is step-by-step guides on how to set them up. There are go-to links for packages to download and just install. I think it should be not too hard to install it, but it always can be easier, especially putting your own sources into place. And yeah, the first impression that you have when installing it is currently not that good. You start it and it's all black because you have no sources. And then you need like 20 scripts to put data in and out until you have a working setup, and we need to make that better. So some kind of installer who asks, hey, do you want some default setup? Should I install example sources for you? That would be pretty great. And it's also a good way to learn how the system works. If you want to do that, I would really appreciate that. So talking about what you can do, well, there's code, and it's Python, and it's there. And it's public, and you can take a look at it. And I said it's really easy to read, I think. I try to keep it clean. I try to keep it structured. And it's the amount of code should be readable in a weekend, I think. There are 3 big parts. There's the core, which does all the video mixing. There's the GUI, which is pretty small. I showed it. And there are the example scripts. And the example scripts are really examples. But they are basically 99% identical to what we are running here. So these work for us. they might work for you, they might maybe not work for you, but they are a really good starting point, I think. If you now say, hey, okay, I want to run it right after the talk, what should I do? Well, the first thing is you need a pretty recent version of GStreamer, because they have fixed a lot of bugs in the recent versions. I would recommend Debian Stretch, Sid, or Willy. They both have, they all three have the right GStreamer packages right there in the repositories, and you can just install them and use them. If you do not want to run any of these and are not willing to build your own GStreamer version, you can run a Docker container that we provide, and it should work. I don't know. Give it a try. And for some distributions, there are actually packages. The DebConf people were kind enough to package them for Debian, and Ubuntu has taken one of them, and yeah, I don't know. Googling around for Roctomix gives some results for packaging. Maybe someone wants to do that for SUSE or for Arch Linux or for I don't know what there is. SUSE has packages, fine. And if you have problems running Roctomix, then just come over to the C3Rock and say, hey, I want to talk to Matzermind, I can't run Roctomix, and I will go with you and try to make you run the software and get you to a point where you can play around with it. I can't guarantee that I will get there, but I would be happy to have someone who helps me, who says, okay, I want to take a look at it. So if you're interested, just come around. And basically, that's it. If you have questions, you can ask them now. Please wait for the microphone or I will not answer your question. If you have questions later, you can join us on IRC. I am usually around there. We are doing a lot of communications through IRC. Or if it's not your way of communicating, please send an email to there. And I will think to come back to you pretty quick. So there's the first question.
Thank you very much. A couple of questions. You're mentioning that basically the video streams are raw, which means that what will happen if in a situation when you have 16, 32 cameras, how is that going to work?
I don't know if it's going to work. Usually we have one or two. So I have not tested it with 16 or 32 cameras. I would imagine that you will run in some problems with the kernel not being able to dispatch this amount of memory to the process. At this point, I think I have to repeat, it will not work for everyone and not for every situation. It is made for exactly such a setup. And if you have 16 cameras, then I think it might not be the right tool for you, unfortunately.
Replays? It's capable of handling replays? Football streaming, for example. And you can press a button and show the last 3 minutes of video.
Yeah, I think this would be something that you would do in an external script. So you would have to. I think you should be able to have a script that records your video, and then you can say, okay, play me back the last 3 minutes into this input, and then mix it back into your program stream. That should work. Yeah. I think that should be possible to build, but it would not be a functionality of Roctomix. It would be an external program or an external script, and you can add buttons to the GUI to trigger custom scripts, but you would have to write the script and the recording and all the things around, I think, yeah. Other questions? Okay. Then thank you very much for your time, and I hope you have a nice FrostCon.